It is so good to be back with you here on 103.3 FM. You know, the last Downtown Depot that we aired was actually on March 20th. So a lot has happened within the last few weeks, and I want to touch base with you on a few positives that I have taken from this pandemic. So first off, I think it is really cool to see how people are reclaiming streets in their cities. Less cars on the streets brings more people out, and maybe it's just colloquial, but I have seen so many folks utilizing Cameron Park and walking along the river, and this is a great way to get to know your community and understand it, and remember that as a citizen, you have power for which streets stay open and which streets stay closed. We've seen a number of large cities changing their city plans because of the way that consumers are using it. For instance, in New York City, city officials are kicking off an effort to close down 40 miles of streets in the month of May. This is closing it off to traffic from cars, and it's going to be open for people on bikes and walking, another way that they communicate with people. Also in Seattle, they're closing down 20 miles of residential streets to most vehicular traffic. So we see that these communities are tightening, they're getting closer, and in part of it is because they're not stuck in a metal box driving around for hours a day, but you get to see your neighbors and you know them when you're brushing shoulders on the trail. Another positive that I've taken from this pandemic is exactly that, that living locally makes sense. I know my neighbors a lot better now than I did 2 months ago, and probably for most of you that's the same. When you know your neighbors, you care about your neighbors. And when you care about your neighbors, your community is stronger. And the third thing that I take as a positive from the coronavirus pandemic is watching small businesses supporting each other and adapting together. Customers like me have to support our local businesses at all times, but particularly now when a dollar means a lot more than it did a couple weeks ago. That is the difference between keeping someone on staff and having to cut them. So seeing the local community rise up to support our small business owners has been inspiring, but it's been particularly cool to watch the leaders of these small businesses in ways that they have adapted and changed their business plan to meet the needs of coronavirus. One small business that's acted admirably in the face of coronavirus can be found on Elm Avenue in East Waco. I'm now excited to shine the small business spotlight presented by American Bank on Danielle Young of Revival Eastside Eatery. The pandemic has caused all types of businesses to look for ways they might pivot. How do we alter our products or services to meet demand in this new reality? Almost no sector has been as dramatically changed as the restaurant industry. Seemingly overnight, restaurants transformed. Some offered free rolls of toilet paper with any purchase. At Milo All Day, customers buy flour, butter, and other kitchen staples from its dining room turned grocery store. At Revival Eastside Eatery on Elm Avenue, owner Danielle Young saw the coming wave and stocked up on to-go-ware. Customer seating areas are now occupied by cases of mason jars to be filled with craft beer or large trays of food ready to be placed in family-sized containers for pickup.
So it's like half storage facility, half like prep area in here.
Although the situation is fluid, one constant for Danielle and the Revival team has been the steady support of customers.
When we look at our numbers in Square, you can see how many people are, like the percentage of return customers, and we're typically around like 75 to 78% repeat customers, which is great. So I think we're doing something right, and our regulars are helping us out, and they're committed to come.
That symbiotic support is something Danielle had always hoped to achieve with Revival, but there was no way to truly test it before opening in July of 2019. Danielle and her husband Travis kept their day jobs at Baylor and Hole in the Roof Marketing while opening Revival. Not both diving headfirst into restaurant ownership was one of the smartest moves the entrepreneurs have made.
And I'm glad for it, especially during COVID, because we can have a small income and then make sure that we are committed to our staff. And we were able to keep all of our full-timers at full-time.
Their investment in staff is showing results. Revival has gained fame for its handmade hamburgers, one of the most popular items on the to-go menu. I personally saw 6 burgers flipped, topped, and packaged in my few minutes back of house. Even though the dining room is not open, Danielle is still managing to build relationships with customers, despite wearing a face mask.
I think that's the coolest thing about owning a restaurant is, at least for me, like I know my regulars by name. Like I know if they just had a big test, and like the girl who pulled up who was getting her burger, like she's a senior. So like it's just fun to like get to love people and like give them something to come back for, like whether that's to report on like how they did in school, or Jennifer out there is about to, you know, have a baby, and it's like, it's fun to be a part of their lives and like feel like you're invested in them.
Danielle deals with a lot of uncertainty at Revival, and there's no telling how the pandemic will reshape the restaurant world. But it seems like she's on the right path. The food's delicious, customers are supportive, and on Elm Avenue in East Waco, Revival has found a home.
The cool thing about it is you get to be a part of a neighborhood that's already established. You're so close to downtown, you're so close to Baylor, and I really think that this is going to be the art district where there's, you know, there's music, there's culture, there's the breweries, and just trying to figure out like what our piece of that will be.
Music, culture, breweries. One day we will have those back. But until then, expect to find Danielle at Revival, delivering happy smiles alongside every hamburger. The Small Business Spotlight is presented by American Bank, with three locations in town, including an expanded branch at Franklin and 4th. I'm now joined in studio by Ashton Gustafson. Ashton is the podcast host of Good, True, and Beautiful, and the owner and broker of AG Real Estate in Waco. Welcome to Downtown Depot, Ashton.
Thanks for having me.
One reason why I wanted to have you on here is because you have such a good mix of the business sense of what's happening now with coronavirus in McLennan County, but also with your podcast, you really look internally, and I think that you can address some of the internal struggles that people are facing throughout this pandemic. So I want to get into both your professional and your podcasting lives.
Yep.
But before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about your Waco history?
Yeah, you bet. So came to Waco in 2001. Was a marketing major at Baylor University, graduated in 2005, then left for a few years in the real estate, started in the real estate business. In 2011, I started a brokerage here, and just a couple years ago decided to make this a home base. So I wasn't here fully in 2011, but we're here now, and my family loves it here. And we've got this little company with a big heart out in Woodway called AG Real Estate, and have family that works with me, best friends that work with me, beautiful souls that have chosen to come on board with us. And we're just trying to figure out, you know, what it means to be human and do business in 2020.
One of those terrific staff members you have is Austin Hooper,
yes,
who comes on here every month for the residential recap. So you're familiar with Austin. Now you're getting to hear from the boss man. In 2011, was the Waco housing market picking up enough that you decided, hey, it's time to start putting some more eggs in that basket? What made you decide to come here permanently?
Well, it was traveling here often for sports. You know, it was the RG3 days, and I was just kind of coming. I felt like I was here every weekend. And then I had family members that wanted to, be in the real estate business. So I thought, well, why don't I just start a brokerage? I'm coming here all the time. And so we did. And then, you know, I started looking at these different markets that I was involved in and just realized that wherever I kind of wanted to pour some concrete, Waco was a beautiful and great market to do it. And so we kind of just said, we're going to play the long game and make our home base Waco, Texas.
One of the reputations that you've taken on recently is for being one of the most data-driven real estate,
yes,
companies in town. Your sources are often cited by Mike Copeland or the Waco,
yeah,
Trib when he's writing about the industry. And you guys just put out an annual report for 2020.
Yep.
Obviously, coronavirus has changed a lot of the outlook in this industry, like it has in everything else. But what were the big takeaways from this annual report?
Well, it compared 2019 to 2018. So when you look at that, of course, everything was up and to the right on the graph, right? I mean, I think, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I know that the number of transactions, number of homes that sold was up. The total dollar volume was way up. I think it was up like 13, 14, 15%. Interesting, I ran the data in April. I think you're sourcing maybe a thing that came out in the paper this last week. April of 2020 compared to April of 2019. And honestly, the numbers were down, but they were not staggering. I mean, I think the numbers were down about 13%. COVID hits early March. So everything that closes in April tends to go into contract, you know, sometime in March. I was kind of okay with this data, you know, of like the world stops and the real estate market only changed about 13%. I mean, to me, that was really good news. You know, it wasn't 50%, 90%. Every transaction I did in the month of March had multiple offers on it. So, like, this is shelter in place. One of my clients went over $10,000 above asking price. They actually asked me about one of the homes that they missed out on yesterday. And they're like, hey, did you find out what that house sold for? And I was like, no. They said, well, it's closed. So I pulled it up, went $29,000 over the asking price.
Wow. This is so during coronavirus.
This is during COVID. So, like, I think, yes, the market kind of has had a hiccup, but it has not stopped. And I think it's going to be contingent on jobs, right? Like, at the end of the day, if job loss happens, that is going to affect the marketplace. But I'm as bullish as I've ever been on Central Texas, as long as you're playing the long game. You know, I tell everyone, don't participate in the real estate market if you have a two-year timeline, you know, a one-year timeline. Like, you need to be playing the long game. And if you are, over time, I mean, I'm not telling you you can't lose, but, like, it's hard to not be successful. It's hard to not have a good return. I'm not telling you a crazy return, but, like, we believe in the long game, and I just think that compared to Dallas and Austin and Houston, our values, while they're different than they were 10 years ago, I don't think they're off. I don't think they've been blown out of proportion.
Assuming that we go back to a somewhat normal unemployment rate, and right now I think we're at close to, what, 30%?
Mm-hmm.
23.6%. How do you see the long-term impacts of COVID affecting housing in Central Texas?
Well, again, it is, I mean, on the way over here, I'm listening to CNBC, and they're talking about, you know, everything in New York City, and, like, how it could be 1 million jobs lost, 2 million jobs lost. Knock on wood, I'm not seeing that proportion happening here. So as long as our jobs remain intact, then I think we're going to continue to see, I mean, interest rates. You think about the interest rates, you think about affordability, it truly is at the all-time lows. I mean, I've seen 10 and 15-year fixed rates at 2.5%.
Wow.
Locked in a 30-year this last week at 3.125. So, again, if you're playing the long game, I just want to say that, like, this is my inner Dave Ramsey, like, over and over and over, like, I'm not suggesting hopping in and hopping out of the market. I'm saying if you're going to call Waco home for a long time and you find an area that you want to be in, now is a really good time to do that. So I see activity changing. I don't really see values changing. That's kind of my take right now.
Well, and especially if you want to be avoiding capital gains, you right. want to be holding on to that property for more than 2 years, unless you're turning it into a 1031 situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does seem like real estate in Central Texas is a pretty reasonable store of value. And right now, when people have seen their 401ks decimated, they might be looking at alternative ways to put money away.
Exactly. I mean, I was having that conversation with a client not long ago, and they kind of said, well, what do you think's going to happen? And I said, well, I can tell you this, everyone that missed out on participating in the marketplace 08, 09, 010, regrets not buying there. That was a financial crisis. Here we are at a biological crisis that has also kind of morphed into a financial crisis, but it's not the financial crisis didn't drive this thing. And so I think once the whole, you know, virus gets remedied or we figure out how to navigate that, I think you're going to have just a great opportunity in our marketplace. And if there is any shift whatsoever, a 1%, 2%, 5% price adjustment, investors are waiting on the sidelines to hop on board because we haven't forgotten what happened 10 years ago. And you ask anyone that bought real estate in Waco 10 years ago, and they will tell you this, I wish I bought more. And so I tell everyone, think about being in 2030. And when you're in 2030, you're going to go, I wish I would have bought more real estate in 2020. So again, I'm not predicting a 12-month, 36-month horizon. I'm saying play the long game. And over time, it tends to work out.
You're hearing from Ashton Gustafson, owner and broker of AG Real Estate. What has this been like for you personally? You know, you're not going into the office with your other brokers. Yeah. I assume not doing as many showings of houses. What have you taken this time to improve yourself on?
So, you know, you and I were kind of talking off script before the call started or before this interview started. And I always have kind of an inward look, or at least starting about 5, 6, 7 years ago, a very inward look. Been diving into a ton of books recently. I brought my stack of like my all-time greats. I have this like stack of 2 books that's probably 20 or 30 books, and like I just look at them all the time because they're the books that really marked me. I brought that
stack
out.
What are the highlights of that stack?
Oh gosh. Seth Godin, Linchpin, Henry Nouwen, Life of the Beloved, Father Richard Rohr, Immortal Diamond, Parker J. Palmer, Let Your Life Speak, Greg McKeown, Essentialism. Just stop me anytime here. Stephen Pressfield, the War of Art. Stephen Pressfield, Turning Pro. So I put these books in the middle of my living room because I was like, hey, when all else fails, let's go back to the greats. Let's go back to those voices. So I just flipped through those a bit.
And have you been learning new things reading these tried and true texts in the time of coronavirus?
Yeah, I didn't know how rad it is to revisit your favorite books. Like, it's one thing to like finish a book and go, oh my gosh, I'll never be the same. It's even more of a rush to dive in for the second and third time. So I'm just finding these notes, and I date the notes like 2015, 2018. I write in the back of every book that I read of like, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm going through. This is how I'm seeing the world. This is what caused a shift in me. And it's just fun to see that. So you get a reminder, but then you're even changed a little bit from 5 years ago when you read it, and you come back at it with those eyes. So that's been a lot of fun.
And you said that it's really the last 6 or 7 years that you've more intensely started looking inward. Was there a conversation or an event in your life that sort of put you on this path?
Yeah. I mean, how far off the deep end you want to go here?
give me a couple minute explanation for why you are hosting this good, true, and beautiful podcast.
Yeah, the shortest way I can say that is in your 20s, You're told to build it, scale it, all in, work harder than anyone, work 8 days a week, be the first one to the office and the last one to leave. And like, I guess we all have to learn this lesson somehow, right? And then at some point, that fails you. For me, that looked like adrenal fatigue, right? 2 Red Bulls a day. I'm going to just work harder than everybody and like kind of make, I produce, therefore I am. That was like my unfortunate ego boast. I think a lot of us like experienced this at some point. So for me, 2012, I just had like a meltdown. I mean, physically, emotionally, spiritually.
And are you married with children at this time?
I had 1 child at that point. Then it happened again in 2013. And then I was like, okay, I guess I'm ready for whatever the great memo is that's trying to get through here. And I came across Richard Rohr's book, Immortal Diamond, and I went into that rabbit hole, and maybe I haven't even come out yet. It woke me up to some things that I always knew, but I just needed the vernacular. I'd never heard the conversation of true self, false self, a very Thomas Merton teaching. Parker J. Palmer teaches it as well. When I heard that, it was like, oh my gosh, like, you just want to make your life about this false self, right? Like everything that fits on your bio, right, is the false self. And then you read these Thomas Merton quotes where he says things like, you can be rest assured of one thing about heaven is there won't be much of you there. And when I read that, I was like, come again? That like all of these things that, you know, I happen to sell real estate. At the end of my life, if that is what's mentioned in my eulogy, you know, shame on me, right? Like there's got to be more. What about meaning, goodness, truth, beauty? And at the same time, I don't turn my back on business. It's both and. It's not either or. It's both and. And so I've really shifted as a businessman, as a business owner, as a leader, as a husband, as a dad, to kind of just hold both of these worlds together and say, all right, we're going to have a business and we're going to do it well and we're going to do it with excellence. But I also want to know what's beauty up to in the world. What rings true as goodness and truth to me? And
how have your answers to those questions changed in the last 3 months?
Oh man. Well, I think we've all had to wrestle with the I'm not my job.
Like, exactly. Yeah, I mean, so many people got laid off or they're working furloughed hours.
Yeah, or just this whole, like, I mean, you introduce yourself to a stranger and you tell them what you do, or you ask them what you do. And COVID gave us this really interesting gift to answer the question, who are you? You know, who are you? What? That Merton quote about heaven, there won't be much of you there. Like, they're not going to, it is not going to say podcast host and real estate broker, right? On like some name card on the other side of the veil. You know, we come from love, we come from light, and we get to experience that here and now. And so, like, what does that mean? What does that look like? And that question, you get to ask it every day, right? That the beauty of the internal reflection for me is that the well of curiosity never runs dry, you know?
The podcast that you host, The Good, True, and Beautiful, has terrific guests on it. John Eldridge, the author, was recently a guest of yours. Richard Rohr, who you mentioned before, has been a guest. Is Good, True, and Beautiful personal therapy for Ashton that we as listeners get to participate in? Or is this meant as a teaching tool for other people to glean some of the insights that you've taken over the last few years?
Yeah, that's a great question. You're probably helping me clarify some of that for myself, right? This is good therapy for me. I started rediscovering these voices that I never was told to read or find out about. And to be quite honest with you, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I really didn't even have a social sphere to have these dialogues with. Like, I'm reading some stuff that's like, time out. And some folks that I was close to, that may have been a little bit of taboo, right? They may have been like, I don't know about that guy, or I don't know about that way of seeing the world.
Are you coming from a religious background? And
absolutely. I'm just
this?
Saying, yeah, like within my faith tradition. And so I was like, well, if I can't talk about that with a buddy at Starbucks, then why don't I just email the author? And then I was like, hey, could we chat? And oh, by the way, can I record it and put it out there? And so, like, it was so organic. I call the podcast my sandbox. Like, it's not meant to make money. It doesn't have to be up and to the right. I can post every week. I can take 2 months off. It doesn't have to fit into that box of productivity that I so often live in. And so I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, what more than anything, what I love is when I've tasted something or I've seen something and I can get another person to taste it and see it. That's like the thrill of my life. And in a gentle, like, offering way, like, here, there may be something here for you. Not in a way of like, this is true and you got to think this. And this more of just like, hey, I found this guy and or gal and read their work and I chatted with them and it's cultivated some love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control in my life. Perhaps you could try it on for size. And, you know, given the week, I mean, sometimes we'll have 10,000 downloads, you know. And I shouldn't even, like, numbers. Here comes my Enneagram 3 again, right? Flexing that. But it's just been crazy that a redneck from Texas can come across some business minds, chefs, artists, theologians, philosophers, and just kind of say, hey, talk to us about what it means to be human. And some people have shown
more.
Up.
It means more because you were maybe not on paper supposed to be the person having these conversations.
Right.
It's relatable. And I think that it's truly indicative of the frictionless society in which we live now, where anybody can be a publisher. Anybody can have a podcast.
That's
if you
right.
have an iPhone, you're 80% of the way there.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to the numbers, I always think about that with Downtown Depot. People ask me how many people tune in. And I always say, maybe it's my mom and my grandma. If it's only the two of them, that should not change my approach.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be results-oriented. I want to be process-oriented. Totally. Am I doing this the right way? And you have to trust that results will come.
Totally. I mean, my mother was the listener. I remember the first podcast I did. I hit record on my MacBook Pro, and I, like, spoke into the mic on the MacBook Pro. I mean, it was awful. But, yeah, one by one, some folks have joined us. And when I read Seth Godin's What to Do When It's Your Turn, that is when I started the podcast. I was like, if no one listens, that's not the point. It's getting to have these dialogues with some magical souls, you know, that have just put incredible things out into the world. And I just want to share it. Like, that's it, you know.
I think that's a really healthy mentality to take when living, quote unquote, online in the way that you are personally exposing yourself, because it can be really limiting. You know, so often I'm like, oh, should I post this on my Instagram story? Wondering if people are going to think my picture of my kid is cute or not,
yeah.
Which is a silly reason to do or to not do something like that.
Right.
But yeah, we can be so easily crippled in the fear of the rejection, which might not even come, or also it might come, but it's from a troll in South Bend, Indiana, and that should not affect you. But if you can get comfortable with, this is the path that I need, I'm going to proceed. And if I look back and I see people following and picking up on what I'm putting down, so be it. But at the end of the day, this should be my personal growth.
Totally.
And that's how I use Downtown Depot. It seems like that's how you're utilizing Good, True, and Beautiful.
I mean, absolutely. And I have like a little coaching side hustle thing that I do with some people across the country. And then like team members and agents that I lead. I say this all the time. If you turn around on your path and you see a lot of people there, it may not be your path. Like, your path is your path. Narrow is the path. We've heard this before, right? If that's true, then you just got to go on your path. And I don't think it's wide. I don't think it fits a lot of people. But over time, you come from that heart of contribution. You come from that space of leaving the world a little bit better than you found it. And if you're playing the long game, eventually the right people show up, right? Yeah, I'll listen to that guy. I'll listen to that conversation. And so that's the overnight success myth is simply a myth.
I've seen that contribution within the Waco community, how small business owners and everyday citizens have stepped up to support each other in the last 6 weeks, 2 months.
Yep.
And every time I say that, I realize it's outdated. This has now been going on for almost 2 months, and for people who took it seriously, like me, longer than two. I'll get you out of here on this. What has been your main takeaway from watching the Waco community experience COVID-19?
I wrote this down somewhere. I carry notepads just like this around and put notes in my pocket all day long. The truth will always outweigh the trends. And like, there's going to come a day when like COVID was a trend, right? And I know that may be, I don't mean that to be an adversarial statement, but like I truly believe that. Like, we'll look back one day and we'll go, oh, that was a moment, right? It's not going to be here for decades. Or if it is, hopefully we have ways to vaccine and combat it. But guess what's like risen to the top? Being human, kindness, joy, sustainability, peace, like these great trends or things or ideas that we forget to dance with in our daily lives, we've been forced to interact with them now. And then we're like, oh yeah, that's the juice. That's what it's all about. So for me, I think the great revelation that I've had in the last 60 days has just been focus. I'm more concerned on what was true 50 years ago and is still true today and what's going to be true 50 years from today. I'm not so concerned about what about the .com this and websites this and Instagram that and TikTok this. That's great. Those are trends. They're here today, gone tomorrow. Participate in and with them, but don't forget to participate in and with them by means of those things that are good, true, and beautiful. Being human, authenticity, contribution. Those, when those are the focus, over time, life lines up. Things work out.
Ashton Gustafson is the owner and broker of AG Real Estate and the host of Good, True, and Beautiful, which can be found on all podcast streaming services. Thank you so much for stopping by Downtown Depot.
Thanks for having me, man. Thank you for your work in Waco. We're super grateful for what you do.
Thanks again to Ashton Gustafson, Danielle Young of Revival Eastside Eatery, American Bank, and to you for tuning in. Health permitting, we are back on our normal schedule, so we'll be hitting you with new Downtown Depot episodes every first and third Friday of the month here on 103.3 FM. And the next episode will be airing on Friday, June 5th. So be sure to tune in for more small business stories and find me on social media in between episodes at Waco Business News. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.